And we're live.
Welcome back, everyone. Episode 69 of Kids Deserve It. We hope you've been enjoying our weekly chats with educators and game changers from around the country. Also, don't forget, you can check us out on iTunes.
And don't forget to join in on our brand new competition by leaving a review for us on iTunes. And each week, we select a different person who's left a review to receive an autographed book set from Adam and I.
Also, don't forget to join our Kids Deserve It chat on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This week, we got another great guest, but first we want to introduce ourselves. I am Adam Welcome, Director of Innovation in the Bay Area of California.
My name is Todd Nesloni. I'm elementary school principal in Navasota, Texas. And our special guest this week, I'm so thrilled he's on here, is Mr. Wade King. So Wade, thanks for being with us this week.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be here, guys. Thank you for asking me. I'm a teacher at the Ron Clark Academy and Director of Curriculum and Instruction there as well. So excited to be here.
Well, we want to remind our viewers as well to participate in social media. We love seeing all the things that stick out to you from the episodes by using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt.
So, Wade, we got a few questions for you. So, for those who don't know about you, tell us about yourself, man.
Yeah, South Carolina, born and raised. So, from South Carolina, taught public elementary school in South Carolina with my wife, Hope King. Taught fifth grade for a while. Then I've been here at the Ron Clark Academy teaching here in Atlanta, Georgia. We're a middle school, grades 5 through 8. We're also a teaching training facility. So we have educators come in every single week, watch us sit in our classrooms, take back some of our strategies that we use in the classroom. We also conduct workshops. So I've been here at the school for 4 years. So that's just a little bit about me. Just love kids, love teaching, and love Jesus. So. Those things. And my wife, of course.
of course, Hope. Can't forget Hope.
Nice.
Well, Wade, you know, one of the things I love about you is how you bring your own personal passions into your teaching, whether it's your love of Power Rangers or your love of music and playing the guitar. So why do you feel that that's important to bring those elements of yourself into the classroom?
Yeah. When I started teaching, I didn't really know what I was doing, like most first year teachers. We look back and we're like, holy crap, those poor kids. But I was also a wrestling coach. So I had that coaching mentality that every high school coach has. And I didn't know how to separate the competitive nature, the coaching mentality, the hard-nosed high school coach to my fifth grade students. And so after my first year, I did a lot of reflecting. I was like, what makes me happy? What makes me excited? Do those things make my kids excited? And so I started doing some reflection and I realized, you know what, through life, all of us have some type of gifts and talents that we have, even if we don't know. And if it's hard to identify those, we all have something that we appreciate or that we enjoy doing. I read an article, it was probably about 10 years ago, it was talking about using your strengths and talents in whatever profession you do. If it's teaching, if it's the business world, and they were talking about productivity. So if you use your hobbies, interests, and talents within those professions, you can have more productivity than if you focus on your weaknesses. A lot of times we hear you need to fix your weaknesses. You need to work on that. It'll make you a better whatever. So I use the example of two NBA basketball players, Dwight Howard and Shaquille O'Neal. Great NBA basketball players. What are they known for? Poor free throw shooting. That's what they're known for, right? And mm-hmm. You know that they're horrible at it. Both of them are like 50-something percent from the free throw line. What makes them great basketball players? Well, points in the paint, block shots, defense. Shaquille O'Neal's in the Hall of Fame. Yes, they're 7 foot tall and super athletic, but they enjoy what they do. And so I took that mentality and I took that philosophy and I applied it to my teaching. I love playing music. My kids think I'm the best musician in the world. I'm really not. They're middle school kids, so it's easy to trick them. I just love playing music. And so I started to play music, play songs, and then I started adapting that with my content. And then I said, you know what? I want to do a little something different because, for example, at RCA, our students loop with us every single year, and you have to keep it exciting. Who doesn't love playing on a drum kit? All my kids, they come in, play the drums, we do songs, do competitive games, but it got old. So I had to think of something a little bit different. I was like, what am I going to do? I'm not the person that dresses up in costume. I didn't want to do it. But I was like, you know what? It would be different for the kids. If you connect content with experiences, students are going to remember it. All of us, no matter where we are in the world, we remember positive experiences and negative experiences, no matter what they are. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do it. So my wife, Hope, that's something that she's really great at. Room transformations, that's her go-to. That's her niche. And I said, you know what? I'm going to partner up with her. So last year, we both taught fifth grade. And we did a lot of lessons together. And we connected Pirates of the Caribbean and Jurassic World and Super Mario Brothers and found interesting things for the kids. And so I kind of learned from her what to do. And I saw that the students really loved it because it was something that was totally different. Something that was different from how I normally taught. You have to do the unexpected to set that stage for the students to learn. So it kind of just morphed into what you see, more Power Rangers, right? But love Power Rangers. Luckily, my eighth graders love Power Rangers too. So I talked to them because they watch Netflix and all that good stuff. So I connected some content this year, and that this year was the first year I did a room transformation primarily all by myself. I tried to test myself because I was referring back to that article I'd read, but I was like, you know what, with teaching, we have to make it exciting too. I mean, if you're always concentrating on your weaknesses, as corny as it sounds, I know we hear all the time, when you're comfortable, you're not growing. It's when you're uncomfortable, you start to grow. But it's really true. It really is true. So I wanted to feel uncomfortable, but I wanted to feel confident in feeling uncomfortable. So that's when I took the room transformation idea because it was something new the students hadn't seen. I combined it with not a strength or a talent, but an interest of mine, which was Power Rangers. Luckily, I teach middle school, so middle school students, they love that stuff too. So, and it worked. It really paid off. I combined a weakness with just an interest of mine, and it paid off for the kids. And the kids absolutely connected that content. And I guarantee you, if you talk to my students about human rights of refugees or close reading strategies or what's going on in the Middle East right now, anything like that, they will always remember and they will connect it to that experience. So nice. That was a really quick question and that was a long answer. I'm so sorry. I always say hope talks forever. And so I just proved that I talk forever too.
No, I think it's awesome. So Wade, you're also part of the Get Your Teach On conference. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about that?
Yeah. I mean, that's my wife's baby, her and Deanna Jump. It started off with those two just wanting to do something different just for early childhood. The Ron Clark Academy is middle school. It's a different type of experience than what that conference is, the Get Your Teach On conference. So they started it off. It was just those two. And they got great feedback. People were wanting to come. And they said, we got to expand. They can't do it on their own. And so the conference is all about engagement, how to engage your students in different content areas. This is we're going on a year and a half now. We've done, I believe, six conferences together. We have two coming up. Yeah. So we have two coming up in Texas. We just finished one up less than a month ago down in Orlando. That was our birthday. So that was a year going. It started off with just kindergarten through third grade. And now this summer, we're adding the fourth and fifth grade. And we have a phenomenal, phenomenal team that just is very dynamic. All of us are very unique and very different. But we all teach. Every last one of us, we teach. We put it on ourselves. We're down there hustling. Everybody's humble, grinding. We're driving out to Texas with U-Haul trucks and everything else. So,
jeez, wow.
We try to bring what we do in the classroom right to the conference centers and just create that experience for them so they can take that engagement factor back to their school. So, get your teach on it. It's really cool. I never thought there could be another type of conference out there that I would fit in. But this is it. I had no intention of really doing it, but it really, really does work because I think we all have the same mentality about education. So, yeah.
I love that. Nice. So, wait, you know, we're always looking to grow and get better. What is something that you're working on growing in this year?
Well, I have worked on a lot of things this year. This is my first year being an administrator at the Ron Clark Academy. And being an administrator is a really cool position, but you have to be an organized individual. Mm-hmm. You have to be. And so I have never been an organized individual at all. You can ask my wife. I'm just a complete mess. I grew up, when I grew up, I was abused really bad. by my stepfather and bounced around from home to home, became a ward of the state, was sleeping out of my car. Well, before that, I was sleeping on park benches. Just had a really tough upbringing. And so growing up, I didn't really have anybody telling me how, oh, you need to keep this organized. You need to keep, but when you're in a position as an administrator, you have to learn how to do that. And so it's taken those life experiences and kind of compartmentalizing them and just understanding organization in my mind, but also organization with, okay, I have to understand where each individual student is coming from, but I also have to understand where each one of my fellow teachers in the school is coming from too. Cause I'm not only an administrator, but I'm also a teacher as well.
Right.
And so every teacher is also my colleague. And so being able to understand where they're coming from and just constantly serving and living for the Lord and making sure that I'm being that servant leader is probably an everyday battle. And at the end of the day, it's for the kids. So just trying to be able to, number one, be more organized, not technically with the paperwork, but within my life and making sure things are priority first. So I think that's it. Yeah.
Nice. So what was school like growing up for you?
Oh man. It was not very good. I didn't really. So like I said, I mean, I was abused really bad. I was taken into my grandmother's home at the age of three. We moved to Athens, Greece, and we were there for 11 months. Found out when we came back, we went there for 11 months because she had been diagnosed with breast cancer. So she shortly passed away. So this is like age three or four. But I remember every little thing. And this goes back to the experience things I was talking about earlier. And I remember every little thing that was done to me. The bad ones, the terrible ones. Then I also remember everything that I saw in Athens, Greece. I remember the smells of the food. I remember the hills and the goats running on them. I remember the Parthenon. I remember the people. I remember everything from Athens, Greece. My favorite thing to teach today is ancient Civ, positive experience, mm-hmm. right? So we come mm-hmm. back. Yeah, I did find out she shortly passed away with breast cancer. Didn't have anywhere to go, so I moved to North Carolina with my aunts and uncle. They were my uncle was in divinity school at Duke University. My aunt was at dental school at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. House divided, right? And so they graduated, and we moved to Anderson, South Carolina. Had a pretty typical childhood from first to fifth grade. Power Rangers was around during that time. has nothing to do with anything. I just make it work.
That's but, right.
I enjoyed school at that age. I liked it. I had teachers who were great for me. They supported me, but I was always that person in school who was always thinking, how am I going to I was having to motivate myself. I was having to think to myself, okay, I'm going to go in here today. I'm going to pretend like this is a Mission Impossible, or I've been a secret agent or whatnot. That's what I would do when I wake up in the morning. Well, in fifth grade, my aunt and uncle, they divorced. My uncle, he's my only blood relative. He moved to North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So I had to go live there with him. This is all sixth grade. Remember, he's supposed to be a pastor, right? Well, he got kicked out of the United Methodist Church for drinking, becoming an alcoholic, gambling, doing drugs. And then he pretty much sold everything that was supposed to be passed down to me that my grandmother had left for me. And then he just disappeared. So I ended up living on my friend's couches. I still have asthma so bad, so many obstacles and physically in my life that way. And so I was having to steal inhalers from Revco. There were those little Goonie Primatene Mist inhalers at the time. I was sleeping on park benches at night if I couldn't sleep on a friend's couch, but I would always go to school. Why would I go to school? Well, I was always fed. I would get breakfast. I would get lunch. I was always mm-hmm. fed. And so, wasn't a great student, but I wasn't a behavioral problem either. It was in 10th grade. Well, I'd always tried out for basketball, and it never happened. And I'm 5'6" as a grown man. It's not one of my gifts, not one of my talents, like we were talking about earlier. But I did see these guys rolling around in the wrestling room. And I said, you know what? That's me. That's who I'm going to be. Luckily, these weren't your crazy, wacko wrestlers. They were now, most of them, some of them are doctors, marine biologists. Great, great individuals. They say your vibe is your tribe. Who you hang out with is tells you a lot about yourself. So luckily, I surrounded myself with those people kind of just through wrestling. And They invited me to a Bible study one night, and I didn't want to go because I got a, I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, I'd gotten turned off of Christianity from my uncle. And they said, well, girls are going to be there. And I said, oh, I'm on my way. So you're great. You're going, right? So I went. The pastor shared a great message that night. And the Bible verse was 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And it was at that moment that I was like, you know what? A lot of people say that, I mean, the Lord will never put more on you than you can handle. I don't really think that's the truth. I mean, my life's the prime example of that. But that Bible verse wouldn't be in the Bible, right? And so I was like, I've had two constants in my life. I've had Jesus and I've had teachers. I can't become Jesus, so I'm a So it was in 10th grade that I kind of made up my mind, that's what I'm going to do. And it wasn't necessarily to teach. It was to give back to kids. And just like my teachers had given back to me. So long story short, ended up graduating high school, went to Anderson University, wrestled there. I worked 3-4 jobs to get through school, wrestled at the same time. Not sure if you're supposed to do that with the NCAA, but I did anyway because I had to. And that's kind of where I'm at. And I think everybody has a reason of why they got into education in the first place.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's great to love kids. Like, that's wonderful. I hope all teachers love kids. But that's not enough. Why do you love kids? A lot of us growing up, a lot of us teaching and that are a part of education, we wake up when it's dark outside, and then most of us go home when it's still dark outside, or it's about to be dark outside. A lot of teachers are on medication. Why do we put ourselves through that throughout the school year? Do we put ourselves through that just because we love kids? Why do you love kids? Right. Why do you care for kids? What is your purpose of really doing this? And so that's just my story. But we all have our own story, and it's all different. So growing up, going back to your question, I mean, I was a okay student. I loved my teachers. I loved being at school. I just didn't really excel, I guess, but I was trying to survive at the same time. And a lot of America is like that right now. Mm-hmm. And it's a problem. And teachers need to be that motivated, that motivation for their students. They need to create those positive experiences in the classroom for their students that otherwise they don't have. Yep. And connect it with content. They're going to remember it. Promise.
For sure. All right, Wade. Every week we like our guests to leave a challenge for our viewers. What is your challenge for the week?
My challenge this week, I have two. Okay. I'm sorry. Don't get mad at me. Okay. All right. So I have two. One is, one's going to be one that they can apply like starting tomorrow, but another one, I just want them to reflect. So we'll talk about the reflection first. I talked about your why. Why did you get into teaching in the first place? And it's okay if your why changes. My why has changed a little bit since I've moved to Atlanta. So I just want people to reflect on themselves. Why do you teach in the first place? If you're a science teacher, I hope you didn't get into teaching just because you love science. Why did you get into teaching in the first place? And then my second one is, I challenge everybody to email at least 6 parents, just 6 parents this week, something positive about their student. It's something that we've been really mindful about. Just with our teachers who come in, and that's something that we're big on, is being positive in relationships with parents in any way. And those emails to parents this week, and the reflection on what's your why? Why'd you get into education in the first place? And why do you do it?
Love that.
That's great. Well, Wade, thank you so much, not only for coming on the show, but just for being real and honest and sharing a piece of yourself with our viewers. I mean, it was a super powerful story, and I appreciate you and all you do for kids and education. And then thanks for being here, Wade.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. I love what both of you guys are doing. It's awesome to be here, and thank you for letting me be a part of it. So I really appreciate you guys.
Well, we also want to thank our viewers for watching and listening. Remember, you can tweet us using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt. Remember to encourage you to go to iTunes and leave a review, as we'll be selecting a winner each week to win an autographed book set. Check us out in our Twitter chat on Wednesdays, and make sure you check out our next guest, which is former music sensation Avalon member Melissa Green, on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. We'll see y'all then.